Okay, good evening, everyone. Let me welcome you all to 2014 Kentucky Bible School. We're delighted to have all of you here with us, friends new and old. So, I'll begin by singing hymn number 4. Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, together such as brethren are, in unity to dwell. After which we'll ask Brother Don Pruitt to come up and open with prayer.
Almighty, most gracious and merciful Yahweh, hallowed be thy great and holy name. Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing on us as we come together to hear and study thy word. It's truly a blessing for brothers and sisters to meet together in unity, to hear thy word and to study it. We thank thee for those great and precious promises given to us by thy word to be fulfilled by our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. To that end, we eagerly anticipate his soon return. And these things we pray in his name, in the name of our great high priest, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Amen.
This evening's exhortation will be given to us by Brother Tom Carson, and he's asked that in preparation for that, we read from Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto the death. And so we'll now call upon Brother Tom Carson to exhort us on Psalm 48.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My voice doesn't carry half as far as Bill's does. So one of my challenges this evening is to stay as close to this microphone, they've told me, as I can. I bring fraternal greetings from the Richmond Hall in Richmond, Virginia, and invite anyone, if you're in the area, to come join us when you're there. We've read Psalm 48. The psalm is about a great rejoicing in Jerusalem because God has recently delivered the city from the hands of its enemies. I took some of these thoughts from Psalms Book 2 by the Christadelphian Scripture Study Service. And it says that Psalm 46, 47, and 48 are seen as the trilogy of God's deliverance and rejoicing. So this is the last of those three psalms. And although the three psalms have a superscription which is entitled For the Sons of Korah, the authors believe that the psalm's author was probably Hezekiah. And as we know, Hezekiah wrote quite a few of the psalms. So this background fits probably with the time of the Assyrian invasion by King Sennacherib of Judah and the Assyrian army's encampment by the walls of Jerusalem and their sudden destruction of this vast army by God, preserving Jerusalem and the land of Judah. So let's turn to Isaiah 37 and read some selected verses. We We've got to do a little reading tonight. The story of Sennacherib's army, or the invasion, is one of the more well-known stories. And as we know, Sennacherib's army had captured most all the other cities of Judah. And his captain, Rabshakeh, sent several messages to King Hezekiah to try and convince him to turn over the city without a fight. So starting at verse 14, Hezekiah has received another message from Rabshakeh. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. We'll skip right now to verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. The authors also note that some of the elements of this psalm don't necessarily fit Sennacherib's invasion. In verse 4 of Psalm 48, it states that the kings were assembled, which in this case was only one king involved. So the assembling of the kings suggests a coalition of kings, which might more likely fit the invasion of the Ammons, Moab, and Edom in the days of Jehoshaphat, some 200 years earlier. In Jehoshaphat's time, the sons of Korah were present. So that's one thing that makes it match up with the Psalms. But we do know that this battle did not take place in Jerusalem, but took place some 20 miles outside of Jerusalem in the valley of Tekoa, or Tekoa. Let us turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll try to shorten this story some. Starting at verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not thou God in heaven? and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And thine hand is there, not is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stood before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt help and wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Hazazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thou saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. As we see in this battle, God caused the enemies to fight amongst themselves. And then eventually, they were all killed. In both miraculous events, both Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat were good kings. They tried to obey God and lead the people in God's laws. And when presented with situations of insurmountable odds and potential tragedy and doom, they did what they were supposed to do. They did it in the right way, and they went to the right place. They went into the midst of the temple of God and spread the situation out before him and pleaded their cause and their case for help and guidance. And God took control of both situations. Now, we've now described two events in Judah's past that could be tied to this psalm of deliverance and rejoicing. But as Bible students, we know that although the psalm may relate to the miraculous events of the history of the kings of Judah, these events are only types of vastly greater events to take place in the future. This psalm is about future events. Verse 1 of Psalm 48 tells us, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." God is to be greatly praised because he has in the past and will in the future defend Jerusalem. And that's because it's his city. God chose Jerusalem to be his city. Deuteronomy 12 verses 10 through 14 tells us, "The children of Israel were told, 'But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that they dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to call his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levites that is in within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself, that thou offer not the burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes. There thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee." Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14 tells us, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." In the kingdom age to come, when Christ returns, he shall sit upon the throne as the king in Zion. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 9 tells us, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.' He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, 'Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen of thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.'" And Psalm 48, verses 2 and 3 tell us, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." The Hebrew word for situation should be translated elevation. So the phrase should read, "beautiful in elevation." I personally have not been to Jerusalem, but it is described as being in its current state, that the city of Jerusalem is surrounded on three sides by valleys. These valleys are on, I think, the east, west, and south sides. And so in those three areas, the elevation gives Jerusalem a good defense against enemies. But currently, the north side is level. And so an enemy would launch an attack typically from the north side of the city. But when Christ returns to set up his kingdom and stand on the Mount of Olives, we know from Zechariah 14 that the Mount of Olives shall cleave east to west, and the mountains shall move towards the north and towards the south. And Jerusalem shall be lifted up and become the northernmost point of the new elevated area. So Zion will become then beautiful in elevation, and it will then be the joy of the whole world, the city of the great King, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 48, verses 4 through 6, tells us, it starts with the word for at the beginning, which tells us that the psalmist is going to give us a reason why Zion is the joy of the whole earth. And verse 4 reads, "For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain, as of a woman in travail." In the past, we know Jerusalem has been overrun and captured and virtually destroyed by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, etc. I believe I heard a talk one time that said Jerusalem had been captured, I thought, 27 times in its history. And we know that this will happen one more time in the future by the King of the North. But Christ will change all this upon his return, and he will change it forever. What a magnificent contrast we have for the future. Upon Christ's return and the establishment of God's kingdom, the nations of the world assembled will be a scene of fear and confusion. When Christ returns and God's kingdom is established, there will be a great shaking of the earth and a terrible turbulence. And as we stated earlier, he will rule with a rod of iron. Verse 8 tells us that as we've heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. As students of the Bible, we have read and heard of God's great acts in the past. But the world will now get a chance to see these acts of God in the city of the Lord of hosts. As we saw in the past with the kingdom of Judah, unfortunately, God was forced to withdraw his presence from Zion due to disobedience. In the future, he will yet establish Zion as the capital of his kingdom, and it will be his kingdom forever. Verse 8 ends the first half of the psalm with the phrase that Zion is established forever. In verse 9, we read that we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. We remember, as we read earlier, both Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat went into the midst of God's temple to present their case to God and to plead their case. And God heard their pleading and requested and put judgment on the enemy. Verse 10, "According to thy name, O God, so is the praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness." In biblical times, the nations around knew that Israel was unlike themselves and had only one God, the true God. And his name was Yahweh. But the nations in the world today have no idea what's in store for them. And they will soon know the name of Yahweh. After Sennacherib's army was destroyed, 2 Chronicles 32, verses 22 and 23 tells us, "Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord of Jerusalem and presented to Hezekiah of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from henceforth." The same type of situation happened to Jehoshaphat when he reigned. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 28 and 29 tells us, "And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." Just think how much faster news will spread in the age to come. The surrounding nations once knew God's name. And soon, the whole world will know the name of Yahweh and of his King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 11 through 13 tells us, Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. When King Hezekiah and the citizens inside the walls of Jerusalem awoke the next morning and found Sennacherib's whole army dead, you can imagine the joy and celebration that took place. They had been saved by the hand of God. They walked about Jerusalem, and they could see that nothing had been touched by the enemy. Everything was intact. And this event was passed down from generation to generation. Verse 14 once again states that, and starts with the word for. The psalmist gives us a reason for the joy. Verse 14 reads, For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. This ending verse balances out with verse 8 from the end of part 1. In verse 8, God established Zion forever. In verse 14, he is the God of the people of Zion forever. Hezekiah's words reflect this joy of new life in Isaiah 38, verses 18 through 20. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. We know that the time for our Lord and Savior's return is near. We also know that at the time of his return, Jerusalem will be attacked and taken over by a confederacy of nations led by Gog, the Russian king of the north. And we can see Russia making its plans and making moves currently, as we can see in the world today. Then Christ and the saints shall appear to fight and destroy the invaders and reclaim the city. Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5 tells us, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall there be war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We want to be part of this joyous time. As we see the signs of the times around us, we must remain constant and steadfast and faithful in our calling. If so, we will be involved and take part in these exciting things to come. In closing, we're going to turn to Isaiah 40, of which comes our memory verse. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Skipping to verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, To them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail, shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tom, for reminding us that today Jerusalem is a city of turmoil with many gods and rulers, but it has a glorious past and a far more glorious future, and we pray that we may be part of that city of the great King. Let us conclude tonight by singing together hymn number 28, after which we'll ask Brother Ron Roth to dismiss us with prayer. Hymn 28. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One. For great is the Holy One in the midst of thee. Hymn 28.
Great and eternal God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, once again, Heavenly Father, do we, thy children, thank thee for the many bountiful blessings of this life wherewith thou hast blessed us. And especially at this time, Father, the joy that we feel that thou hast permitted us safe arrivals at this place, that we might concentrate upon those wonderful things that thou hast preserved for us in the form of thy holy scriptures. We thank thee, Father, for recognition of the fact that we are such a small fraction of humanity to know the impact of that wonderful covenant that thou hast made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their progeny. And we pray that we might strengthen that in our hearts and minds, and in the hearts and minds of our children, that when it comes to fruition, as our brother Tom has presented, when Zion is glorified in the eyes of all the world, that we can rejoice in the fact that we are among all men most fortunate. We pray, Father, that if it be thy will, that that wonderful day is near at hand. But until it arrives, that we might strengthen one another in the bonds of love, to the end that when he comes, he will find faith in this earth and a mighty, joyful result will occur. We ask now that for this evening, that thou will dismiss us with thy blessing, and that we might look forward to a week of study and understanding of the wonderful things that thou hast set for us. These blessings we ask through his name, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.